Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's meditation is recorded in Paul's letter to Ephesians, 5th chapter, verses 25 and following, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Here ends our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if a bit of advice were to be given to you men about how to make your wives, your future wives, happy, maybe even your current girlfriends, some of these things would apply there, but they're all things that somebody might say about marriage. Every woman loves romance, so make sure that each week you take them to dinner and their favorite movie. Their favorite movie, their favorite chick flick, not action-adventure movie. Plan vacation trips to exotic places like the Tuamotu Islands in Polynesia, or any place that has jasmine, the aroma of jasmine. And then surprise her with explosions of red roses from time to time, unexpectedly, out of the blue. And then, you know, take that John Keats line, behold upon the night's starred face huge cloudy symbols of a high romance, and then make it a reality. Don't forget that subscription to We, Women's Television, because then you can get all sorts of chick flicks. Sprinkle the days with sunsets, bouquets of beautiful flowers, vibrant, gentle love. Surprise her with, this is the capper, honey, I am going to cook all the meals and wash all the clothes and the dishes for the next decade. Always a kiss before nighttime, and so on. Now, at this moment, my own wife, if she were here, would be laughing gently about this man she married, wondering where the reality is in all these things. And I confess that, like many husbands, I have not lived up to this idealized montage or scriptural truth, which is maybe something else. Not necessarily. Some of those things apply. In some sense, everything I just said might, for some Christians, reflect the meaning St. Paul has in mind when he says, husbands, love your wives. They could all be considered tokens of affection and love. Scripture does have romantic stories. Remember the one about Jacob and Rachel? Genesis 29:20, Moses writes, Jacob served Laban 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So Scripture writes about romantic love. Many Christian women, I can imagine, would love to have any of a number of these actions be part of their enhanced marriage life, which they don't see now. And we husbands, and you future husbands, ought to repent that we have not treated our wives as the treasures that they are, the tokens of love from our God. I don't doubt that there are lessons that we can learn from We Television about husbands loving wives, but we have still not captured the most motivating thing about love spoken by St. Paul, words that are so much more spiritually rich in meaning. St. Paul's words commending husbands to love their wives shifts from an argument of the lesser to the greater, from romantic love, not that it's out of place, but that there is something higher, and something higher to motivate all the other kinds of love, from romantic love to God's higher salvatory love in his Son, Jesus Christ, the model bridegroom who came to rescue the church, his bridegroom, from the tragic story, not a romance story, of sin and death. For all the romance that any of us might play out in our lives, behind the scenes, there's always another story competing, saying it will come to an end. Paul points us to Christ, who loved the bride, his church, and who provided the kind of self-sacrificial, self-denying love and salvation that rescued his bride, the church, us, from sin, from death, and from the devil. That's the greatest romance story you will ever find. Men and women, married and single, when he took on human flesh to redeem us. Husbands, Paul says, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. What Paul points us to here is a God who, in showing love to us, gave us so much more than the stuff of Hollywood or romantic dreams. Jesus models for every husband a self-sacrificial, spiritual love for wives, a spiritual leadership that enlarges our romantic lives. Jesus was above all a spiritual teacher, pointing us to the Word of God, placing God's holy Word first in everything. Many men have provided charming romance for their wives, adventure for their kids, but have forgotten the one thing needful: God's word and promise of forgiveness. Christian husbands ought to work hard at being the most loving, self-sacrificial, joyful companions that their wives could ever want, with a heart and mind in all of that dedicated to Jesus Christ and his word. Sadly, none of us, husbands, wives, students, faculty, men, women, have lived up to this idealized model. We have not only failed to be what we ought to be as husbands, wives, sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, we have sinned against one another. And most of all, we have sinned against God by our thoughts, by our words, and by our actions. We have absented ourselves from what is right and made present in our lives that which is evil and that which is wrong. God's word calls us today, as it does every moment of our lives, to repentance. And when we come to realize that we have sinned, and when we are sorry, and when we are contrite for our sins, then the Lord comes as the loving Savior that he is, and he points us back to himself. We eagerly turn to that model of grace and love that Paul points husbands, wives, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters to. This beautiful Savior, sweet model of behavior, loving brother, light-hearted companion that lightens our loads along life's way. He is first and last a Savior for us, faithful husband to his church, keeping his promises, living for us, dying for us as closest friend. The terrible death at the cross, which took away our sins. All those burdens that weigh us down have been removed by the blood of Christ at the cross. In our baptism, God has written us into that story and has removed our sins, has made us white as snow, has made us pure, has made us holy by our baptisms. This is Epiphany, the season of light, in which we focus on the revelation of Christ's glorious divinity and the splendor of God's holiness granted in baptism. And it is this reflected glory this glorious love that Paul here speaks about. Pagans can love their wives with love, but only God and believers can love with an agape love, that love that is always related to Christ and the greatest love that he gave us, a love that transcends whining and dining and the highest romance. It is the love whereby Jesus Christ says to his bride, all believers in Christ, believe in me and follow me into everlasting life. For there you will find dinner, a banquet that is beyond all human banquets, and a reality that is higher than any entertaining screened movie this side of eternity. For you shall be in not the presence of a movie, of an illusion, of all the great things that we might want, but the reality of God himself, the triune God whose everlasting love for you will cause you and all the saints to raise voices in never-ending praise to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.